From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo has emphasized on the enactment of public activity restrictions or PPKM at the micro or local level. At the recent limited cabinet meeting, he gave directives so that COVID-19 pandemic is handled more effectively by optimizing the effectiveness of the PPKM. He also urged to apply a micro-based approach or at the local level. This was reaffirmed by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto during a virtual press conference following the meeting on Wednesday, as reported by Antaranus Agency. Micro approach aims to apply the PPKM starting from the levels of village and neighborhood and by involving the central task force until the smallest units of the COVID-19 task force. He further said that the activities are really important to raise the community's discipline in enforcing the law. Furthermore, Minister Erlangga remarked that the involvement of civil legal enforcers such as Babinsa, Babin Kamtipmas, and Satpol PP in the operation with the assistance of the military TNI and police, Polri officers in the implementation of PPKM is for not only the law enforcement but also the tracing. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan is optimistic that investment realization will hit a record 900 trillion rupiah this year. As quoted by Antaranus Agency during an online dialogue on challenge and optimism about investment in 2021 on Wednesday, he stated that the government has achieved 826 trillion rupiah of the target. He also said that it is not difficult to attract some 70 trillion rupiah. He thinks it is a realistic figure to achieve. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, announced earlier that last year's realization of investment reached 826.3 trillion rupiah, outmounting the government's set target of 817.2 trillion rupiah. He believed that the investment target of 900 trillion rupiah for 2021 could be achieved owing to a number of economic transformation programs, including the development of downstream industries. President Joko Widodo emphasized the fact that no same formula existed for dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Though the method to tackle the pandemic varied across countries, he also conveyed that the handling of the COVID-19 is different from one country to another. There is no same formula. This was reaffirmed by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto in his press statement, while reiterating the president's statements at the presidential's office in Jakarta on Wednesday. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Erlangga remarked that President Joko Widodo has urged Indonesia to apply the concept deemed most appropriate for Indonesia, drawing reference to the data on enforcement of restriction on community activities or PPKM. Minister Hartarto gauged that several provinces, including Jakarta, Central Java, and Yogyakarta, had recorded improvements in connection with the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. He also explained that 98 districts and cities are also still in the red. This is a decrease from 92 earlier. In terms of district and cities, the figure decreased from 363 to 332. Let's move on to the international news. Hungarian Ambassador to Indonesia, Judith Paksch, said that Foreign Minister of Hungary, Péter Szijjártó, is expected to visit Indonesia soon and meet his Indonesian counterpart, Minister Retno Marsudi to discuss setting up an investment fund. This was explained by Ambassador Judith during an exclusive interview with Antaranus Agency on Wednesday. She stated that Hungarian government is now preparing for the foreign minister retreat to Indonesia, which will hopefully take place within the coming 2 weeks, and they will have a high-level bilateral meeting with Minister Retno Marsudi. However, the exact date for the official visit has not been set yet, as the embassy in Jakarta is still holding discussions in the Indonesian Foreign Ministry. Ambassador Judith Patch added that one of the issues that will be on the agenda of the talk is related to the establishment of the Joint Investment Fund. The United States should extend the May 1st deadline for pulling all its troops from Afghanistan and make force cuts contingent on progress in peace talks, as well as by the Taliban, in reducing violence and containing Al-Qaeda, a bipartisan report to Congress said on Wednesday. As reported by Reuters.com, Washington should not abandon the Afghan peace process. But condition for its success will not be met by a May 1st deadline set in 2020 U.S.-Taliban agreement. Withdrawing all U.S. troops then could lead to civil war, destabilizing the region, and reviving the Al-Qaeda threat. Reflecting criticism that the Trump administration conceded too much to the insurgent in a bid to end America's longest war, the Afghanistan Study Group report said the United States should not simply hand a victory to the Taliban. Congress commissioned the group, whose co-chair included retired Marine General Joseph Dunford, a former Joint Chief of Staff chairman, and Republican former Senator Kelly Ayotte. The United Nations said it would mobilize international pressures to ensure the failure of Monday's military coup in Myanmar, as Myanmar police filed charges against ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi for illegally importing communications equipment. As reported by Reuters.com, according to an official from Suu Kyi Party, Nobel Peace Laureate Suu Kyi was detained on Monday, along with other civilian politicians. She is being held under house arrest in the capital, Naw Pi Daw. It stated a police request to a court detailing the acquisitions against Suu Kyi, 75 and 6 walkie-talkie radios, had been found in a search of her home in Naw Pi Daw. The radios were imported illegally and used without permission. The document reviewed on Wednesday requested Suu Kyi detention in order to question witnesses, request evidence and seek legal counsel after questioning the defendant. England's chief medical officer, Professor Chris Whitty, stated that UK is past the peak of the current wave of the pandemic, but infection rates are still high. As quoted by BBC.com, Chris Whitty said the number of cases, hospitalizations and death were on downward slope, but that did not mean there would not be another peak. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Boris Johnson praised the colossal efforts to vaccinate 10 million people, including 90% of those aged over 75. But the National Health Service was still under huge pressure. Speaking at the Downing Street briefing, Professor Whitty said, while the number of people in hospital with COVID-19 had reduced quite noticeably, it was still above that of the first peak in April 2020. He said, so this is still a very major problem, but it is one that is heading the right way. Professor Whitty also said infection rates were coming down, but they are still incredibly high. That was the news.
The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia government announced again the ban for foreigners from entering their nation starting from February 3, 2021 until an unspecified time. This ban also results in the closure of worship places in Mecca and Medina for Muslims, but it only applies for 20 countries, including Indonesia. This is the second time Saudi Arabia locked down their country from foreigners. In February 2020, Saudi Arabia also did the same, which resulted in a ban for Umrah and Hajj for foreigners. This policy certainly aims to control the COVID-19. In an official statement, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry appealed to Indonesians who plan to visit Saudi Arabia to keep waiting for updates about Saudi's policy. Also, the Foreign Affairs Ministry on their website asked all to watch the latest info on the travel policy from various countries through their Safe Travel app. This ban is quite normal because new virus strains have been found in some countries, but the workers of Hajj and Umrah travel industry can be very affected. Therefore, it is hoped that the COVID-19 can be controlled, the vaccination can be done, and the ban can be lifted soon.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo防ぎ mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhenque peidai kouzhao yi fangchi xinxing guangzhuang bingdu feiyan de chuanbo. Wo de kouzhao baohu ni.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging pan COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, Today in History start with the event on February 4, 1945, when the Yalta Conference was held for the first time. The Yalta Conference, known as the Crimean Conference and codenamed the Argonaut Conference, was a World War II conference held on February 4 to 11, 1945. As Germany drew closer to the fall of World War II, the conference was organized by the governments of the United States, the Soviet Union, and the United Kingdom. They were represented by Franklin Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin. The conference participants reaffirmed an agreement reached at the Casablanca Conference regarding the unconditional surrender of Germany. In addition, the Yalta Conference agreed on a plan to divide Germany into four occupied territories by the United States, Britain, France, and the Soviet Union. The next event was in 1948 on the independence of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka gained its independence from Britain on 4th February 1948. This date was later commemorated as Sri Lanka's National Day. Sri Lanka, in the 16th century, became a Portuguese colony and then fell to the Dutch. In 1798, Sri Lanka officially became a British colony. Since the beginning of the First World War, the people of Sri Lanka had risen to the fight for their independence. Finally, Sri Lanka became fully independent on 4th February 1948. The last event is about World Cancer Day. World Cancer Day was established at the World Summit Against Cancer for the New Millennium in Paris, France on February 4, 2000. The summit produced the Paris Charter, which aims to promote research, prevent cancer, improve patient care, raise awareness, and mobilize the global community to make progress against cancer, and included the adoption of World Cancer Day. The initiator is the International Union Against Cancer, or UICC, a global consortium with more than 280 anti-cancer organizations in 90 countries. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku ingin tahu, kau harus mau. Ku ingin kau begitu, agar kau tahu, jadilah engkau milikku selalu. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Walaupun ada cinta sehidup semati, jadilah engkau milikku selalu. Cuma aku. Mengapa aku begini? Jangan kau pertanyakan. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Walaupun ada cinta sehidup semati, jangan kau pertanyakan. kau juga mati. Walau tak ada cinta, hidup semati.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
National Development Planning Ministry or National Development Planning Agency Bappenas is making a wetland management roadmap for a guidance in managing mangrove and peatland in supporting greenhouse gas emission reduction. This was stated by the Ministry Deputy for Maritime and Natural Resources Arifin Rudianto in a virtual kicked-off meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said that the roadmap will be an instrument to support achieving the Indonesian Vision 2045 Sustainable Economic Development. Arifin further remarked that the multi-purpose benefit from mangrove and peatland ecosystem is very potentially supporting some aspects, such as economic growth, creative economy, tourism, maritime, food security, water and environment. Therefore, the wetland management roadmap will be made as long-term guidance to support achieving the vision. The roadmap making will be done by three working groups and will cooperate and consult with some ministries or agencies that have existing strategy, management plans and data on mangrove and peatland ecosystem. On October 30, 2020, Bappenas formed a wetland management strategy coordination team that aims to accelerate achieving sustainable development goals. Arifin added that as a carbon-rich ecosystem that contains and absorbs carbon much more than the tropical forest, mangrove and peatland are a nature-based solution for sustainable development. Mangrove and peatland also benefit the economy, environment, and society, including supporting the climate change mitigation and adaptations. A proper mangrove and peatland preservation and management can support the emission reduction target and prevent emission release contained in both ecosystems. Arifin hopes that the wetland management roadmap can contribute to some sustainable development targets in 2030.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jabat tanganku mungkin untuk yang terakhir kali kita berbincang tentang memori di masa itu. Peluk tubuhku, usapkan juga air mataku. Kita terharu seakan tiada bertemu lagi. Bersenang-senanglah karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari nanti. Sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah karena hari ini yang kan kita banggakan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Da-da, da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. Mungkin diriku masih ingin bersama kalian. Mungkin jiwaku masih haus sanjungan kalian.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
To travel to Solo, you must taste a variety of culinary specialties. Solo culinary specialties are not only appetizing, but also relatively cheap. There are several places that can be visited to get a variety of typical Solo food, including Kedai Market, Singosaren, Grogol, and its surroundings. There, you can taste various legendary snacks from Solo, such as Roti Kecik. Roti kecik or kecik bread has an oval shape as big as a thumb and its color is brown. Roti kecik is made from roasted sticky rice plus cinnamon. The cinnamon-flavored snack with a sweet and savory taste has been well known in Solo since 1881. Genep Shop on Jalan Sultan Syahrir was the first pioneer to sell roti kecik. Apart from roti kecik, various typical Solo snacks are also sold at the shop. Roti kecik has a sweet and savory taste. The texture is dry and hard. Roti kecik can also last up to several weeks even though it is made without preservatives. This may last for some weeks because of the dry and hard textures of the kecik bread. So this bread is really appropriate if you want to buy it as a souvenir. The price of kecik bread is quite affordable, namely 7,000 rupiah for the small size, 15,000 rupiah for the medium size, and 20,000 rupiah for the large size.
Kan menunggu dengan diriku dan dirinya. hasratku dan cintaku, kaulah segalanya. Izinkan diriku bersamamu, karena sesungguhnya ku rindukan dekapanmu. Ku janjikan setia, berdua kita jalin kasih dalam satu ikatan cinta. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana, aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah para. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana, aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah para.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, starting from a concern about people with diabetes mellitus, who are very difficult to find a safe snack, there is an idea to make healthy snacks that are low in sugar but high in fiber. ITB students consisting of Nasya Aulia, Angga Dwi Cahya, Kaila Asri Maharani, and Arnoldus J. Bevan have tried to use corn cobs to be converted into snacks that are healthy and safe for consumption by the diabetes mellitus sufferers. The snacks are called maïs de kolf, which is in Dutch means corn cobs. The idea to make the snacks led them to win second place in the entrepreneurship category at the 2020 National Student Scientific Week events. They choose the corn cob as the main ingredients for several reasons. Referring to data and research results, the availability of corn cobs is quite abundant, up to 10.15 million tons in Indonesia in 2018. In addition, corn also has high fiber contents such as lignin, cellulose, and hemicellulose. Besides, The use of corn cobs as snack can contribute to reducing the greenhouse effect caused by the accumulation of corn cobs, which produces methane gas. From a social point of view, the snack's innovation is expected to become a means of education regarding consumption recommendation for diabetes mellitus sufferers, which continues to increase in number in Indonesia. According to data, in 2017, there were 10.3 million sufferers of diabetes mellitus. The student processed the corn cob into flour to make pastries. The corn flour is mixed with other ingredients such as beans, margarine, and sugar from the stevia plant. This snack has calorie contents per pack of 24 calories, as recommended by the diet and lifestyle outline to support diabetes mellitus therapy. A piece of cake is measured weighing 9 grams and contains 33 calories. The pack contains 4 pieces. This is appropriate for the snack of the diabetes mellitus patients who need to maintain their calorie intake. In addition, the snack is complemented with presentation suggestions and packaging adjustments that are in line with the nutrition doctor's recommendation, so that it can become a means of education for consumers. One pack contains 4 pieces of snacks for one-time snacking season. That was miscellany.
Untuk kau menjadi
cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني
رانج جنشوية بيتاي كوجو يفانشي سين سين قوان جوان بيندو فييان دا جوان بو ودى كوجو باوهوني ودى كوجو باوهو
Evite la difusión del coronavirus cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Por con, de getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Since meeting a famous producer, Dedy Dores, while participating in a festival, Nike Ardila was considered to have a potential talent. Most of Nike Ardila's album consisted of songs by Dedy Dores, such as Nike's debut album, Seberkas Sinar, which immediately catapulted her name. The album, which was released in 1989, has a single flagship with the same title as the album, Seberkas Sinar. The song, written by Dedy Dores, is a slow rock genre that fits perfectly with Nika's nice voice. Listener, here is Seberkas Sinar, song by Nike Ardila. Lagu Seberkas Sinar, Nike Ardila.
Hanya berteman sepi dan angin malam. Ku coba merenungi tentang jalan hidupku. Oh, ku langkahkan kakiku dan menyimak sebuah bertanya, adakah kasih suci? Oh, sendiri. Ku coba merenungi tentang jalan hidupku. Dalam cinta
Voice of Indonesia.
Rasakan dengan tegas. di hatiku, membakar jiwa yang merana. Kata manismu membuatku yakin kepadamu, hingga membuatku terlena. Rindu padamu setiap hari, bayang dirimu menggoda jiwa.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id. Thank you.